if you believe assault is an act, not an adjective. Your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. What do you believe? Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener. Because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live, right now. Call 1-800-313-9443.
Yeah. Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning, good morning. It's 7 a.m. Pacific time. Man, I got to get up early to do this show. I tell you, the advantage is I can do all of my research the night before. Like last night, I can do a bunch of research. However, today, a little bit different theme. By the way, I want to thank RJ Hinder for another great show. Thanks again for sending everybody off over here to 2A Radio. And when we're done, we're going to send everyone off to the Control Factor, yet another excellent program. Don and John have been on RBN since the beginning of April, I believe, or beginning of March. I think it's beginning of March. And just, I mean, great show. I listen to the first couple of segments of the Control Factor every day as I'm getting my show edited and uploaded onto the website, which, by the way, is www.2aradio.com. Some people think it's two-way radio. It's not two-way. The only way it's two-way is if you call up, then I get the other way. Otherwise, it's me talking to you. It's one-way. It's my thoughts, your ears. That's the way it works out. 2A's and SecondAmendmentRadio.com. All of the archives go up there, and as a matter of fact, I trim out all the commercials. You just get the content. You can also get all of the archives at republicbroadcasting.org. Sign up. It's like $1.33 a month. You get all of the total shows that you can handle. Everything in history that RBN's ever done. So, anyhow, that's all up at republicbroadcasting.org. Anyhow, I'm going to go over several things today that I haven't been able to get to. There's been a lot of different stuff that comes up and comes up, and I keep this running kind of a tablet of sorts of all these different stories, and there's some that are at risk of getting a little bit too old to talk about, but yet I still have information on them, and I still have some commentary. So we're going to get to some of those things today. As well, a good hearty listener has asked me about my thoughts when it comes to optics on your sport utility rifles, like, say, your AR-15, something like that. So we're going to talk a little bit about optics, some of the truisms, really, to kind of consider with the guns and with optics. And unfortunately, a lot of people don't like to hear this information or refuse to want to believe that, yeah, you know, I guess I really do kind of have to go that way, and I really do have to spend X amount of dollars, or, you know, maybe I can get away with buying something a little bit less expensive, whatever it is. So we're going to cover some of those things today additionally. So there's some things regarding the loopholes. People call it a gun show loophole. I call it a gun lie loophole. The people that really believe that we shouldn't have guns. There's a total lie involved about why they think we shouldn't have guns, all these anti-gunners. And we're going to put into context, really, why it is we actually need guns. And we're going to pull this information directly from the headlines. Straight from the headlines, we're going to articulate, look, the reason we need to be able to arm ourselves are because of these kinds of incidents which are happening. So that's what we're going to be looking at on today's show. So stick with me. It's going to be kind of an interesting ride today. Again, if you ever want to shoot me an email, it's bill@2aradio.com, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. But stay tuned, guys. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio. Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes is live. 1-800-313-9443. All right, guys, welcome back. Now, this is this information I'm about to read to you is, I don't know, about a week or so old. And it says, deadly night in Chicago as seven are killed in shootings. Now, Chicago has the most repressive gun laws in the entire country. More so now than Washington, D.C. I'll give you an example. If you live in Chicago, you're not allowed to have any guns within the city. Same as the suburb of Chicago in Oak Park. They have the same law. Now, you are allowed to be a resident of Chicago, go outside of the city, buy a gun, and keep it stored outside the city in some secure location. But you can't bring it into the city, not a handgun. Rifles and shotguns are highly regulated. Highly regulated. So your ability to actually protect yourself with a firearm in Chicago is non-existent. Hence, the lawsuit against the city of Chicago, which is in front of the Supreme Court now, which is essentially just another version of Heller. Heller decision came down, everybody believed it. And then you got some crafty people who decided, ooh, yeah, they ruled in D.C., but D.C. is a federal territory, not a state. So the Second Amendment isn't necessarily incorporated to the state. So, yeah, we can keep these anti-gun laws on the books. And, of course, lawsuits abound. So, Chicago police are investigating shootings around the city that left seven people dead and several more wounded in a matter of hours. It was a couple Fridays back. Police spokesman Officer Hector Alfaro says that the first shooting happened around 6 p.m. on Thursday, and that the attacks concluded into the early hours of Friday in various neighborhoods, so all over the city. Alfaro says police believe that the shootings that left five men and one woman dead are unrelated. He says no arrests have been made as of early Friday. At least two of the victims died in drive-by shootings, include 18-year-old DeAndre Morgan, who was killed as he pushed his son down the street in a stroller. Two others were shot and wounded when someone in a pickup truck opened fire on a basketball game on the city's south side. Okay, so it's interesting. They say seven people were killed, but there were five men and one woman, which only add up to six. So basic fact-checking before you write this literally two-paragraph story? I don't get it. Here's the thing. It happened in various neighborhoods throughout the city. So what that tells us is it wasn't just one specific crime spree. All over town, in what amounted to be probably about a 12-hour period or less, maybe 8 to 10-hour period, seven people in Chicago were killed. Why? Because the only people in Chicago with guns, because of their laws, are cops and criminals. That's why. So Chicago is the near picture perfect example of a city the way that anti-gunners would like to see this entire country. And what you get is seven people killed in a matter of hours on a weeknight. A weeknight. Thursday night into Friday morning. Seven people killed. Because the only people allowed on the street with guns are cops and criminals. And I say allowed because criminals aren't going to follow the law anyhow. So there you go. Pass as many laws as you want. But if somebody's not going to respect a law, they're not going to respect a law. That's just the way it is. Passing laws does not change behavior of the criminally minded people. And what it is the arrogance, the ignorance, and the outright stupidity of people passing these kinds of laws, even considering them, that shows they are completely unqualified to hold the seat in any legislative body in this country, from a township up to and including the Congress of the United States. Now, here's another one. Seven more shot and wounded near the New Orleans French Quarter. Police say a weeks-old dispute boiled over in a shooting on the outskirts of New Orleans French Quarter, leaving seven with non-life-threatening wounds. They were shot. They were not killed. New Orleans police say in a release that the shootings happened outside the fast food restaurant, a fast food restaurant, around 9:15 p.m. Saturday, a couple Saturdays back, on Canal Street, which runs along the edge of the neighborhoods at the heart of the city's tourism industry. Investigators believe one of the victims, a 17-year-old boy, was the gunman's target because of a dispute on Mardi Gras, February 16th. He was expected to be kept overnight at the hospital. The others wounded ranged in age from 15 to 50, 15 to 50, and were to be treated and released. Detectives say the gunman was given a handgun by another man, then opened fire. No arrests have been made by early Sunday. Again, a couple Sundays back. So that's what we're dealing with now in New Orleans. So keep in mind, New Orleans has never been a safe haven of any means. I went to college in New Orleans. I have relatives in the Louisiana area. Actually, they're even south of New Orleans, really down in the bayou. A bunch of real live, hick, old, coon-ass fisherman cousins. I shouldn't even say distance cousins. They're my mother's cousin. My first cousin's once removed, and second cousins are down there. What a bunch of party people. Now I understand why Cajuns, down there in that area of the country, die before they reach 50 because of all the alcohol and all the shellfish that they consume their entire lives. It's a fun place. Anyhow, so now we've got 7 people dead in Chicago, 7 more shot in the gateway to the touristy area of New Orleans. Now, keep in mind, one person in New Orleans grabbed a gun and intended to shoot one other person. And 6 additional people were shot outside of a fast food restaurant. So I got to ask you, why is it that nobody... And now I'm going to keep the 17-year-old kid that was the intended victim who got shot out. The other 6. Actually, no, I guess I should say at least the other 5, because one of the others was 15. So there's probably about 5 others, ranging from ability to have a gun and up, age-wise. Why none of them had any guns, or anybody else, even somebody who wasn't shot? Why nobody else had a gun and didn't stop this shooting rampage? Why? Why is it that less than 10% of the American population carry guns? Why? Guys, you want to know the sad fact of the matter? About 2% or less of the American population actually carry a gun. And we're talking about citizens out there. Less than 1 in 50. It's probably close to 1 in 100. It's probably close to about 1%. If you look at all the concealed weapons permits that are out there, and then open carry states, and then you divide that by about half, because only about half of those people actually carry, you have so few people out there ready to defend themselves and others by carrying a gun. Nationwide. Now, in some areas, you've got a lot more people carrying guns a lot more often, a much higher percentage of the populace. And in some areas, it's relatively non-existent, if not completely non-existent. Or if they are doing it, they're doing it in violation of some local ordinance or some state law. Because they're not going to let some local ordinance or state law legislate them into being a victim and either incurring death or serious bodily injury to themselves or a loved one because they say, you can't protect yourself. Such would be the case anybody in Chicago, a rather big and violent-tending city that says you can't even have a handgun in the city. It's illegal. Somebody does, some good law-abiding citizen, otherwise law-abiding citizen, does have a handgun in Chicago and is able to use it to protect themselves or a loved one, or somebody else near them, who's otherwise a victim of a violent crime, to where they're risking death or serious bodily injury by the attacker. Now, that person that had the gun is now a criminal if they pull out the gun and defend someone's life. Can you believe that? You're online with this. They're legislating you into not being able to protect yourself. These people in New Orleans, same deal. Now, I honest to God, don't know what the gun laws in New Orleans are. I know a guy who lives in New Iberia, which is west of the city, about a two-hour drive, hour and a half, two-hour drive. I might just give him a shout. He's a big gun guy. I might just give him a shout and see what it is that the laws in Louisiana are. I could probably go online and look it up. But all I know is that seven people were killed in Chicago, and they were legislated from being able to protect themselves. And in New Orleans, seven people were shot, and not knowing what the laws are, but nobody there had a gun to protect themselves either. One shooter, one intended victim, and six additional people got shot just from flailing away. Now, that's not an excuse to take guns away from people, because obviously, if we followed the mantra of all of the anti-gunners, the people in Chicago that died, we would have, all of those guns that were used to kill them were illegal. They weren't legally allowed to possess them. But people died. You don't seem to understand. Do you get it now? That legislation of guns doesn't work? You cannot legislate morality, and you cannot legislate an instrument that is protected by the Constitution. If everybody or the vast majority were carrying guns, we'd be safe. More to come. You can have the alcohol and tobacco. Leave the firearms to us. Right now, the 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes. All right, guys, welcome back. Now, I have gotten a couple of emails and a few phone calls. When I was gone in March, the cat is out of the bag why I was gone in March. The History Channel put together a brand new reality show, reality TV programming, based on shooting and marksmanship. And I was cast in that show. So I was gone in March filming for this show. The name of the show was called Top Shot. And it premieres on the History Channel on June 6th, I believe is a target date. I'm allowed to say something about this now because on Facebook, they released a video, a one-minute commercial dealing with it. And then during their very big show that they had this last Sunday, America Where We Came From, I believe, or America How We Are Constructed, I forget the name of the show, they actually premiered the commercial on that during that program. Which was really neat. It was about an hour and 15 minutes into the two-hour program. They actually had the one-minute spot. You see a little feature of me on there, which is kind of cool. But that's why I was gone in March, was I was cast onto the second. I see it as a pro-Second Amendment and pro-American-related program. Never been a fan of reality TV. Don't watch it. Don't care to. But the History Channel does a fantastic job at putting good information out there, and they do a lot of things like, you know, the history of the weapons, the history of the gun, really good positive programming. I mean, I really, really dig history. You got History, History International, Discovery Channel, the Military Channel, all under really the same banner. And a lot of very good pro-American and pro-gun programming, which is why I agreed to go in and cast on this show. That was, it was an interesting process. It was fun. That's actually where I was broadcasting from LA for a week in February, was for the final casting process. And then, in March, why Dave Patton was in, filling in, while I was out filming for a couple of weeks. So, that's why. So, starting June 6th, you'll see yours truly in History Channel's, reality show Top Shot. Very interesting show, very interesting process. In fact, I've been on television a few times here and there doing different things, but this is the first time I was involved in an actual, like, more than just one day worth of production, where, you know, there was a daily regimen and all kinds of different things going on. The first time I'd ever been involved in anything like that. I had no idea what to expect. It was very interesting. It was a good time. The things that we were doing, and I'm not talking just, you know, like, you know, marksmanship sorts of things, but the stuff they had us doing, the entire experience was really very, very cool. It'll be very interesting to see how the whole thing is portrayed on television. I obviously, having been there, I know exactly what was going on each day. I know how interactions were happening. I know how people were feeling about different things that were going on. But it'll be very, very interesting to actually see how it's portrayed on television. I would imagine it's probably going to be, you know, relatively accurate and then somewhat not, just for good television ratings. But I have a lot of faith. The same company that produced this, it's a History Channel production combined with a production company, and the same production company that does that show has done other shows. Let's see, they do The Ultimate Fighter. They do, let's see, Dirty Jobs. As a matter of fact, a lot of the people involved in the production with this program, with Top Shot, have at one time or another, or even still do have, a lot to do with the production of the biggest reality show known as Survivor. There was almost everybody, I shouldn't say almost everybody, well over half of the people involved in the production of Top Shot have been or still are involved in the production of Survivor. So we had a bunch of excellent people who really knew what they were doing, really had a good... Now, this is a brand new production for History Channel, and all these people coming together with this new sort of reality show that they're putting together for Top Shot. The first time out of the box, there was some learning curves, a little bit of growing pains. Certainly, I experienced a little bit of that, but I got to tell you, it was a lot of fun. It was a great experience. And I'm really, really excited to just see, because of all these people that had so much experience, especially in reality TV programming, and especially with the biggest reality show that there is in the name of Survivor, how this is really going to get pulled off. So June 6th on the History Channel is the premiere of Top Shot. You can go to historychannel.com and look it up. They probably have the thing on there. Otherwise, you can go onto Facebook and type in History Channel or History Channel Top Shot, and that will show you the 60-second spot that's up there, so you can get a glimpse of that. I had a lot of different things coming up on Facebook. I actually pasted that spot, posted it up on my Facebook page. But anyhow, that's just, I wanted to let you know, now I can tell you what I was doing while I was gone in March. So anyhow, that's that. That's over. Now, we're going to go on with a couple of things that Joe Lieberman talked about when dealing with some of the presidential decisions. And he really slams the Obama regime. It's pretty interesting. So stay tuned. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Gun control, loved by dictators since 1917. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443. And welcome back. All right, you know, I want to talk for just a moment about Senator Joe Lieberman. Now, Joe Lieberman is an independent, formerly a Democrat. And the more and more that he talks, he sounds more and more like a Republican. Now, here's the interesting thing. I don't believe that Joe Lieberman has ever changed his political ideology. I believe he has always been incredibly grounded, more so than most. But the thing is that politics and politicians have been moving over to the left so much in a big joint thing. I look at it as a clock. And the clock is from 9 o'clock to 3 o'clock. It incorporates that whole 9 to 3 area. All the way over at 9 o'clock, on the left, is the unbelievably completely radical leftists. All the way on the right, over at 3 o'clock, are the unbelievably completely all the way conservative, which is actually most of us, and it's quite believable. What's happened is, if going straight up to noon is independents, from noon to 9 are liberals, and from noon to 3 are conservatives, with a little slice in the middle of the undecided or the independents. What's happened is, everybody over at 3 o'clock, but we're talking about people in office, have swung. There's nobody over between like 1 o'clock and 3 o'clock. Everybody's been moving over closer towards 9. This whole thing is backtracking over to the left. Joe Lieberman was probably started somewhere to around 11 o'clock. And the thing is everything has moved so far that 11 o'clock is the new independent stance. And very, very soon, actually it's more like about 10:30, that's kind of the new independent stance. Even people who were formerly conservative and are now totally bought into what were the leftist ideas in the years of old. All right, so Joe Lieberman now is moving more and more towards conservatism, not so much that he's moving, but conservatism is moving towards him. I should back up and say, look, what's happening is the Republican Party is moving towards Joe Lieberman. Joe Lieberman's not moving towards a Republican Party. All right? But he's always been a fairly straight-up dude. At least that's as I've seen it. A lot of people have issues with Joe Lieberman. I've seen him as always a pretty straight-up guy. Right? He's part of the entire establishment in D.C. But, you know, we're grading on a curve here. All right? We're grading on a curve. Just to give you an example of how far left everything has become. A study was done comparing John F. Kennedy's administration and his administration's policies with that of George W. Bush. Now, Bush too. If you compared them side by side, John F. Kennedy, who was considered a very, very liberal president at the time, head to head, had much more conservative administrative policies than the Bush administration, who is considered radically right by some. If you compared them side by side, John F. Kennedy would have been a screaming conservative compared to the George W. Bush administration, which would have been looked at as screaming liberals. And we're talking about 40 years in time. Two generations. A mere 40 years in time. And the formerly incredibly liberal are now more conservative than the ultra-conservative that were in office. That we're going by perspectives, of course. Don't call them lambast me. So now we're going to get to what Lieberman said. And this came out a couple Sundays back. So again, it took me a little bit to get to this. There's been a lot going on. So he says, omitting Islamic terrorism from security documents is dishonest and offensive. Senator Joe Lieberman slammed the Obama regime a week ago Sunday for stripping terms like Islamic extremist from a key national security document, calling the move dishonest, wrongheaded, and disrespectful to the majority of Muslims who are not terrorists, which is quite true. The Connecticut Independent revealed that he wrote a letter the prior Friday to top counterterrorism advisor John Brennan, urging the administration to, quote, identify accurately the ideological source, end quote, of the threat against the United States. He wrote that failing to identify, quote, violent Islamic extremists as the enemy is offensive. The letter was written following reports that the administration was removing religious references from the U.S. national security strategy, the document that had described the ideological conflict of the early 21st century as, quote, the struggle against militant Islamic radicalism. Okay? That's the way it used to be described, the struggle against militant Islamic radicalism. They're now removing all sources of religion from this report. Lieberman told Fox News Sunday, quote, I'm sorry, not a quote. He said he, Fox News Sunday's in quotes, pardon me. Lieberman told Fox News Sunday that this is the first time the Obama regime has tried to tiptoe around referring to Islam in its security documents, and that it's time to blow the whistle on the trend. I couldn't agree more. He says this is not honest, and frankly, I think it's hurtful in our relations with the Muslim world, Lieberman said. We're not in a war against Islam. It's a group of Islamist extremists who have taken the Muslim religion and made it into a political ideology. And I think if we're not clear about that, we disrespect the overwhelming majority of Muslims who are not extremists. Hear ye. Lieberman, in his letter, noted that prior Department of Homeland Security and Pentagon documents also did not refer to Islamic extremism. He expressed dismay that the administration's review of the Fort Hood shooting, in which alleged Major Needle Hassan was said to have had contact with a radical cleric beforehand, and omitted the term. Unless we're honest about that, we're not going to be able to defeat this enemy, Lieberman said. Lieberman told Fox News Sunday, it's absolutely Orwellian and counterproductive to the fight that we're fighting. You know, I couldn't agree with him more. To hide with this PC wannabe garbage, I got to tell you, PC political correctness is politically incorrect in my term. To try to just curtail to everyone so no one's offended offends me. I'm now offended. If you try to not offend someone, you're going to offend someone else. Just put it out there. And everybody needs to stop wearing their emotions on their sleeves and deal with it. I'm considered, by all considerations coming out of Department of Homeland Security, I'm considered a right-wing extremist. I don't see myself as a right-wing extremist. I see myself is a right-wing ideologist. And I align myself with guys like John Adams and Thomas Jefferson. We could even throw Thomas Paine in there. Okay, I align myself with guys like the ones who wrote and risked their lives in the biggest act of treason in modern history when they raise their hand and they say, yes, we're representing these people in these colonies and these states, and we vote for the Declaration of Independence. I align myself with that sort of mindset. The same sort of guys that drafted the Constitution of the United States. That's the way I align myself. Now, were those right-wing extremists? Well, I would imagine the King of England would have seen it that way. Now we have Tsar Obama looking at it the same way with all of his fledgling scuzzball minions, Janet Napolitano, part of that deal. And it didn't start there, guys. It started with this Patriot Act that the Bush administration wanted to put in there. Make no mistake, guys. George W. Bush was a sorry-ass president. A sorry excuse for a president. He's better than Obama only because he surrounded himself with better people. But certainly not conservative by any means. Not by no stretch of the imagination was George W. Bush or his administration conservative. Most conservative guy, I think, was Dick Cheney. But yet Dick Cheney was really the one behind the scenes pulling all the cords when it came to wanting to spy on everybody. So then that makes it so he's not conservative. See where I'm going with this? What looks to be one thing and acts, talks, walks, and looks like a duck oftentimes is a duck, whether they call themselves a duck or a monkey. All right? These guys are looking like elephants, but acting like jackasses. You get the political reference here? The elephant Republican is acting like the jackass Democrat. Why would you have a jackass as your political party's mascot? Why? I mean, hey, we're a bunch of jackasses. We're a bunch of stubborn jackasses. There's our logo. Wow. You are a bunch of stubborn jackasses. And your logo shows it right there. A stubborn jackass. Nicely done. And we believe in these guys? Some of you out there? You got to be kidding me. The Patriot Act coming out of the Bush administration really hosed us. And now, of course, you've got the Obama regime pushing for certain measures of that. And, of course, they want to... you had Obama during the campaign trail. So we really need to get the balance of power back. The executive branch took it a lot when it came to the Patriot Act and other things. And we really want to restore that and you know, get everybody's liberties back in order. However, now that they're in office, pardon me, you have the Obama regime that has done all but that. They want to continue with major portions of the spying provisions of the Patriot Act. They have gone so far as to go into the Second Circuit, and argue that cell phone records are no violation to you. Because you sign up for service, the records of all of your communications with the cell phone. And if it's a smartphone that also does text messaging and you got a PDA that also does email, all that good stuff. All of that information is property of the service provider, be it AT&T or Verizon or whoever. So that the government, now that that information, it's actually theirs because you're paying for a service. And the service that you're receiving is through a company. It's their product. So the government should be able to go in there and look at it whenever they want without warrant. Just have free access to it. As a matter of fact, just send us login information so we can go in there and look whenever the hell we want to. That's what the Obama regime is arguing for, so that they can track everybody's mobile phone service, everyone in the country, without warrant. They're also arguing that emails that are more than 6 months old or have not been read are not private either. So we should be able to electronically go in there and read whatever the hell we want and use it. Now, here's the deal, guys. If they want to know what you're doing with your cell phone, they're doing it now. If they want to know what's going on with your email, they're knowing it now. They just can't legitimately go into court and prosecute on that stuff because they're not allowed to look at it. They're not allowed to look at it and use it. But are they actually doing it? Do they have the ability? Now, I'm not saying they're reading every email. Yeah, guys, by no means. Is the government reading every email that goes out there or logging every single phone call and monitoring every phone call? No. What they're doing is they're using software out there to pick up on key phrases, terminology, words, verbatims, things like that. That's what they're picking up on. And then they're having computer forensics go through and go through and filter that stuff even further. Then, if it weren't somebody actually a human being picking up and looking at it, then they do that. It's happening now. They're just lobbying for it to be legal. You understand? It's something that's being done illegally. They have the technology. The government has the technology. It's something that they're doing illegally. They're just simply lobbying for the legality to come about. So then they can use that against, well, anybody they so choose. Now, the argument has been about doing it because of any potential domestic terrorism, any fascists that are in this country, that like these Islamo-terrorists. However, they're not actually using Islam or radical Islamic terrorists or anything like that in their words anymore. And that's a part of a ploy, the thing that Lieberman was just arguing against. Well, you're admitting this, omitting this. The reason they're omitting it is because they want to be able to widen the clarification without having someone have to be a Muslim for them to be able to spy on. It's part of a bigger deal. They're already doing this. Now they're arguing to make it legal. And then they're gonna, oh yeah, well, now we can do this. Well, you've been doing it. You just want to make it legal now. And you want to make it to where you can spy on everyone. Guys, 9/11 was a big farce. I didn't want to believe it. I didn't want to believe any of these conspiracy theories until I was prepping for my 9/11 show, this last 9/11. on the 8th anniversary, and I did a couple of weeks worth of research. I wanted to have a good show, and I was blown away, literally blown away, with all of the inconsistencies that couldn't possibly be what the government and major Marxist media have put out there as the events of 9/11. They couldn't possibly have ever gone down that way if you look at even a small portion of the evidence. It's all been a ploy to get us involved into some, okay, yeah, we think there should be a Patriot Act and we should be okay. Hey, if we got nothing to hide, guys, this is exactly what went down in Germany in the 1930s. Exactly what went down. Don't fear your government. We've got everything under control. Give up your guns. Give up some of your freedoms. Because if you got nothing to hide, you got nothing to worry about. Then they moved in. Thank you, Adolf Hitler. And you've got the people in office now, regardless whether they've got an R or a D behind their name, in office now doing the same thing. Stay tuned. More after the break. Your right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back.
Back off, I'll take you on. Headstrong to take on anyone. I know that you are wrong if this is not where you belong.
All right, guys, welcome back. Now, I've got to tell you, I have seen some fantastic legislation come out of the state of Arizona just in the last couple of weeks. For example, Arizona declared their own Firearms Freedom Act, which means if there's guns and accessories made in the state of Arizona for the purpose of being sold and possessed in the state of Arizona without leaving the state, they're exempt from the all the federal regulations dealing with guns that the ATF deals with, because it's no longer interstate commerce, it's intrastate commerce, which exempts the federal government from being able to do anything about it. They're the sixth state to do that, and there's several others looking at it. They also passed what's referred to as constitutional carry. If you are legally permitted to own and possess a handgun, you don't need to ask any permission or fill out any forms in order to carry it. Carry it exposed, carry it concealed, we don't care. You don't need a CCW permit. They're the third state to do that, behind Vermont and Alaska. Called constitutional carry is the term that's been thrown on. Then, just last week, late last week, what was it, Thursday, I think it was, they passed their own immigration legislation because the federal government has failed to do that. And what they've got now is they've got state teeth in order to help it, where the federal government has allowed Arizona's border to become the most porous border shared with Mexico. And they have all kinds of drugs and violence coming north in Arizona, which is a real issue for me. I've got family in Arizona, in southern Arizona, nonetheless, and I don't want them having any part of that. So I'm a big fan. I might very well find myself relocating to Arizona within the next year or two. Maybe northern Arizona, very nice, more mountainous, cooler temperatures. I might very well find myself doing that if Nevada, which is considered a relatively conservative state, doesn't follow suit in some areas. Now, Nevada's legislature only meets for 120 days every other year. This is not one of those years. So all of these Firearms Freedom Acts and a lot of these really pro-gun sort of things, the Nevada legislature hasn't been in session during any of this. So I have a whole list of legislation I'm going to ask my state senator, to introduce. I'll actually have the bills completely written, asking him to introduce those at the state level next year when they go into session in January. But I really, really dig everything that Arizona's been doing in the last couple of weeks. I mean, fantastic stuff. Totally a good reason for a lot of conservative-minded and pro-gun and pro-constitutional people to move to that great state. I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you in Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule. Stay tuned for the Control Factor coming up next.
Bill will be here tomorrow. Will your freedoms? The 2A Radio Show, 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 Central, Monday through Friday.
I will not break. I will show.